You Can't Clip My Wings, a powerful show that discusses life and how we live it.
Good evening, everyone. I'm so glad we're here today. I'm waiting for everybody to come in over here on the Can We Be Frank show on Zoom. And I also have it on over here, over on over on Blog Talk. So what I need to do is link address over here, real quick. Over here. Let's see. Everything's moving so slow today. And my internet has been going off and on all day. I cannot wait, okay, to, let's see here, create a post. Oh, God. Everything is moving so slow right now. There we go. Okay. Okay. And, let's see here. 35, 76. Okay. All right. So, you guys, tonight is Thursday night, which, you know, we only do the show Tuesdays and Thursdays. So, what I want to do is I want to talk about this book that I was reading. I think I told you guys about They Were Her Property. Let's go back to the beginning. Because I've been reading my tail off today. I had an opportunity. Oops. I want to get the person's name, by Stephanie E. Jones Rogers, and it's basically, let me take that off of there. Oh, I know what's happening here too. There's something I'm missing over here. Let's see here. That's not it. Here, I thought I had everything already plugged up and in place, but no, I don't have everything the way I want. Okay. So this is what again. Welcome to the Can We Be Frank show. I'm waiting for everybody to come in. They should be coming in a few minutes. There we go. Let's see. Good evening. Welcome to the Can We Be Frank show. If you can't stay on over here, you can go over to Blog Talk Radio, and we're on there also. The number to call in is 563-999-3576. That's 563-999-3576. So we have two areas that we can definitely talk. And I'm just waiting for other people to come in. I'm talking about this book that I got about maybe about 2 weeks ago. Let me see here. I think I got this 2 weeks ago. And they were her property. Okay, hello, hello, come on in, come on in, come on in. How are you? And, hello, can you hear me?
Hello, yes, I can hear you.
Good, 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 good. Sounds good. Great, great, great. Can you hear me, Tavares?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. Okay, so I want, everybody hadn't come in yet. Everybody's kind of flowing in, and that's good. Look, we, last night, Nish, you know we had him going. I wonder if this I wonder if he went back and looked at all that stuff because we gave him so much. He was like, stop.
I'm sure he looked up some of it.
Yeah, some of it he probably did. So you know what I like about you, Denise? In some way, me and you are on the same wavelength. Lots of stuff that you be saying be like, do I know this lady? Do she be in my head? She must got a little room in my head because you be right on point. You'll be right on point. I'm like, damn, it's just in my head. Because it sounds like you're always in my head when you say something. I'm like, damn. So there is people out there that think like you. Which is a great thing. I mean, it's not a bad thing. I mean, because we don't be, we be thinking, I guess, you know what? I've learned that being an overthinker can be bad, but it also has a good point to it. And I think
exactly. What
we do is we overthink. And
I've been told that I would analyze
something
and just fall apart.
You can't help it. It's just hard to not do it. It really is very hard not to do it. It really is.
Exactly.
So tonight, okay, I do want to talk about two issues. I was just on another YouTube live chat, and I made my comment, and she made some good points. The young lady who was talking. But I'm still, you know, you have to understand this. When somebody most of the time made up their mind, they don't, how do you say that? It's hard for you to come to them and validate it in another way because you've already, and I don't want to say that I'm not thinking about what she was saying, but it still doesn't matter whether, okay, we were talking about, they're talking about the young white lady who got away with, that's not arrested for murdering the black guy, right? You know that,
okay.
That incident,
yeah, right.
That happened in Florida, right?
Yep.
Well, she was saying, why are we so upset about it? Why are we so touchy about the idea that he said he didn't like black women and the white woman killed her and she's not even in jail? And then she tried to compare that situation with George Floyd because they said George Floyd's girlfriend was white. But George Floyd never, ever heard him disrespect a black woman. See, you got to listen to...
Black woman.
That's right. So you got to listen to sometimes when people trying to convince you away. Like I said, and I put in the chat, I said, he's not Trayvon Martin, and he wasn't Mike Brown, so it's not the same. It's not the same. We're not, what we have to understand is black folks, and me and you have this, I think me and you talked about it. We got to learn who's truly on our side. And in a wartime situations, people like him, no trying to be heartless toward him or nothing, but he's a casualty. He's what you call a casualty. Clarence Thomas would be a casualty in a wartime situation. Okay? Anybody who grabbed a white woman is going to be a casualty. If you all about your people, they're called casualties of war whenever something happens. So it doesn't matter. Just like she also made the comment, why we are not up in the uproar about the women who are dating these white guys and they're coming up dead. Who said we hadn't said nothing about it? Who actually said that?
Been happening. For how long has
that's
been
right.
Happening? How long has that been going on?
That's right.
No one is doing anything. No one is saying anything.
That's right.
It's more under the rug. It's
mm-hmm. Yeah. So we can say something. We can say something about it. Nobody, you don't know who might not, who's out there saying something about it. That's because you don't see somebody saying something about it. Doesn't mean that it's not being done because it's not in where you see it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're still talking about that black lady who was in a room full of white girls. They took her, you know, they had a sleepover, a grown woman in a house with a bunch of white folks, okay, and they killed her. You don't hear nothing about that, but it's somebody in there keeping that in the news. I promise you that, because somebody cares. Hey, Mr. Porter, how you doing? Are you all right tonight? Huh? You hadn't come on yet. You there? Okay. Are you there, Mr. Porter?
He muted.
Okay. Hello? I don't see him yet.
My apologies. Sorry about that. So you guys are talking about casualties in wartime situations. You got this one guy I was watching, and he was like, this is the revelation of the righteous people. Like, the righteous people are coming out, and you have to walk that path of righteousness because that attracts more righteousness. It also attracts the enemy. You're going to have to know which is which, because the enemy could look like you. And say you have an encampment, right, and that encampment has men, women, children that need to be protected against these evildoers, whether they look like you or not. You have to have the discernment to know who's who.
Mm-hmm.
That's why righteousness is that, like, that whole group of people trying to do right is being shunned upon, because it's being shunned upon by the people who do wrong, who will want acceptance into these encampments of righteous people who are continually being blessed.
What?
And so that's where the conflict comes from.
And that's true. The thing what she was saying was, how are we not, why are we so upset about him? Why are we saying it's not? Because everybody now, black women are saying it's not my business. Family is begging for the black woman, the same one he disliked. They're begging for the black community, which everybody knows is the black woman. The community is the black woman. They're upset because we're not out in the streets hollering and screaming to the top of our lungs about justice. Well, you have to understand, somebody says, well, he was 17 years old. That was 10 years ago. But his action 10 years ago is where he at now, because he's not with a black woman. He didn't apologize and start dating a black woman. He's still with a white woman. So those sentiments he had and those remarks he had still was in action, whether he was 17 or not.
Your actions dictate whether or not the apology was authentic.
He didn't even apologize. The family apologized for him.
Like you said, that I ain't gonna say that ain't our business, because that was still another black person. Regardless.
Well, that's what she was saying, but I'm saying it ain't our business as a black woman. A man is different. As a black woman, and the stuff that he said, it's not our business.
That's the thing. You can't be a community without unity. There is no black woman without the black man. There is no black man without the black woman.
Well, then, okay, now you said that. That's good that you said that. Then why he with a white woman? So he not a community.
That was his action and a reflection of his personal opinion. Just like people date outside their race all the time.
Yeah, they do. But they don't kill them.
Whether or not they denounce the other race, if you have to bash a black woman to date a white woman, then, you know, that doesn't make a difference whether or not you're just dating the white woman. You didn't have to bash a black woman to do so.
That's the point, right?
Yeah,
you just,
yeah, exactly.
You didn't have to bash black women to be with this white girl.
That's right.
If that's what you want,
that's right.
I respect that.
Yeah, go for it.
Shows poor education, and our people perish due to lack of knowledge. If that man had more knowledge of himself, he would have never uttered the word.
Well, he got a whole family. He got his cousin, there's a black chick. He got a mother that's black. He got a whole family that's black of women in it.
They were miseducated.
Yeah, they were missing, but they accepted him being that way. Nobody corrected him. Nobody corrected him. Nobody corrected. They made it all right for him to say those things and be disrespectful toward black women. Because he probably was disrespectful to his mom. He probably was disrespectful to his cousins. He probably was disrespectful to all the females in the family for him to make that comment.
Yeah. Yeah. You came through the birth canal of a black woman.
That's right. That's right.
Now, let's take this out of the box. Let's take the label black off of it. Right? Was he disrespectful to all women?
No.
Of course he was, because a white woman killed him. She ain't killing for nothing.
No.
We don't know.
They said she was abusive toward him. Yeah, her friends vowed to that.
Right. That's the preacher they'll paint. Come on, look at what the crime is. Of course they're going to say that.
But if she was abusive toward him, then he should have known enough to get out of it, but he didn't want to get out of it because his whole thing was to keep that facade about loving black white women. Because he could have went to any other white woman.
Okay. Now we're still unboxing the story, right? So if she was abusive towards him, that just didn't start out of nowhere. And guess what abusive people do? They abuse, and guess what the abused do? They deflect and they blame and all the other stuff that people, it's a dichotomy of human. It's not just a black thing and a white thing. Yeah, he married a white woman. Yeah, he disrespected black women. But did he disrespect all women on a regular basis? If you disrespect a black woman, then you're pretty much disrespecting all women anyway.
Well, that might be the way you see it, but that's not the way they see it. That's why he was able to do that.
If you disrespect a woman, period, you're disrespecting all women. What did MLK say? He said,
Okay, I get that. But, like you said, go ahead, Denise, take it out. Take it out, Denise, go ahead.
However, I'm going to take that word butt out of there. Because butt changed the connotation of things.
That's right. That's right.
However, he put a white woman on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
He glorified a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
How do you glorify someone that doesn't look like the person that brought you here?
Did he not meet the demise he was supposed to meet for doing that? Did he not meet the demise he was supposed
But the question, you know, I still have, what did this man do so bad to take him out like that?
Yep.
Would it have been simple just to leave him?
Yep. What made her go crazy to turn around and stab him 20 times?
Maybe it was the ancestors working through a white woman.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that like that, but, you know, hey, look, it's real. The spirit world is real.
It's more evil going on now than it's ever been. Yeah.
Who's to say that wasn't plotted or planned?
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say there's not an insurance policy out there that she's staying to collect on?
That's
but
right.
We'll never know.
That's right, because it'll never come out.
He was just a pawn in her get-rich game.
Exactly.
He disrespected a black woman. Y'all should be on her side. Because he disrespected a black woman all them years ago. And she came in. I ain't going to say that. That's
no, that's
her.
Not.
I'm neutral with it because she didn't have to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
Black, white, green, or purple.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Even though he disrespected a black woman.
That's right. There was no need.
I have no problem with a black man with a white woman.
Nope.
No problem whatsoever because I got it all through my family.
Sam, yeah, yeah.
But do not.
Disrespect.
None of us have disrespected the black woman to say the things, the derogatory things he has said about black women.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't followed him, so I have no idea about him. I just heard the highlights or the white woman killed this black man and people are crying out for justice. And I'm like, well, you know, just because he's black and he died at the hands of a white person don't mean he was necessarily right.
He had a Twitter account, and on his Twitter account and on his social media platforms, he would always say something derogatory about a black woman. Now, he did this at 17. Everybody know when you're at 17, you know what the hell you're doing, okay? Don't pretend like we should forgive him.
You know how many stupid mistakes I made between 17 and 25?
Yeah.
I ain't going to tell you I ain't disrespecting no black woman. I ain't going to ever do that, but I made a few mistakes. And, you know, he's using that same trick that the white people be using. when they dig up old racist remarks that they done made and they want to run for office.
But no, but listen, no. This is what his cousin, the female cousin, that allowed him to be disrespectful to black women, because she also has a disrespect for African-American people, period. They do. So this is, yeah. So now they're hollering. They want us, the community, please forget what he said and just for the community come together. What they're realizing is even though it's a male and female community, the community is the woman. Because when you look at the front lines, it's black women on the front line. Now you want our help, and black women ain't having it. That's and you have us that's mad at other black women because we ain't having it. We ain't having it. We ain't having it.
Community of black women, but black women alone are not the community, and that would defeat the purpose of a community. The community is everybody.
Okay, you're right, but again, the black woman has the loudest voice and the biggest mouth, and her voice travels, and her power travels.
She has power. That is what she has.
The black woman has power.
Mm-hmm. We have, and I try to tell us that every day. You have the power to do what the hell you want to. If it's going to make you happy, you do not no longer whatsoever have to put up with
even
nothing.
Even if it's black women, if that makes you see how that works.
No.
There's limits to things.
Yeah, there's a limit to it. That's right. There's a limit. You can't do that.
Yeah.
It's like.
If you're not aspiring to be, I ain't saying holy, righteous, holy roller. If you're not aspiring to get to that next level of even spiritual development. That's where we lost that. That's something Mr. Porter was talking about that community stuff. Like, the community was more spiritual back in the day.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with the Bible. It had nothing to do with white Jesus or none of that. It was more spiritual intactness in our community. Now we're so far away from everything that we kind of put ourselves in a box. And if we don't agree with it, then we automatically say it's bad or wrong or anything else. We've turned into our enemies. That's what we've done.
Yeah.
We've turned into our enemies.
Yeah.
But that, as far as what he's done, no, you made yourself an enemy. Like I said, there's certain things you don't have to say. Even if you feel that way, you don't got to say it.
That's right.
And you turn yourself into an enemy.
Right. You don't have to say it. If that's how you feel,
mm-hmm. That's right.
You just keep it to yourself and do what you do.
That's right. Because even on his pictures.
I got it on Twitter. I got to bash somebody.
Well, all through the whole all his pictures, he don't have none. He's the only black guy in all the pictures that they show on social media. All his pictures. There was not one other black person in his group pictures that he was taking. It was always pictures. Yeah. He had some, yep, that's what he did.
I was going to name the local politicians, but I'm not going to be hello. But let one of them get roasted by somebody white and all the pictures start pulled back out. Or them taking pictures at certain places with certain people on the steps of the city hall. I'm not finna shed not one tear. Not one. Because you wasn't doing that for the community anyway. So you wasn't doing that for our advancement. You definitely was doing something to hurt us. You definitely spoke against members of the black community. No, thank you.
That's how they already know how to get to us. The Willie Lynch syndrome is still alive
as well. Yep.
Find the weakest link within
mm-hmm.
our community.
That's
within
right.
the black race.
That's right.
They find the weakest link, and they use them.
Mm-hmm.
That $5 in a pork chop sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They magnify them. They put them on front and center.
Yep.
Now everybody should be like, this is just like slavery. But that young man died because he wasn't supposed to be sleeping with Master White.
That's right.
Florida, too.
Yep. Florida ain't no joke. Florida ain't no joke. Florida is almost worse than Louisiana and Mississippi, if it's not worse. Okay? Yep, that's right. That's right. That's right. You're correct. You're right.
You say a white woman, you were color boy dating this white woman, and my Confederate brothers and sisters would turn over in their graves if they saw this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. We met the demise he was supposed to meet. But I'm not saying that in a mean way, but if you fry an egg too long, it's going to burn.
Well, what they say, if you play with fire, yeah. Now, okay.
He felt like he had been overcame
mm-hmm.
because he thought he was accepted in that group.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to just bring this out. Like, society, she thought she had overcame and got too big for her bridges for us, for the black people. But them white folks pulled her coattail and showed her. Oprah Winfrey is a good example.
Yep.
Oprah thought because she had what she thought made it, she's going to go open up her own network and see how fast it almost sunk.
Yeah.
They know that you can stretch all the power you want to in their world. All you want to, but your stuff. And
no, it's work. Limited. It's limited.
Yeah.
They got a box around
they're
it.
Gonna,
yeah.
Put you in check. They're going to let you know your stretch is limited.
Yep.
Just like Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
That's, when they sent Bill Cosby to jail, this past go around, that had nothing to do with what he had done previously.
Mm-hmm. That was a wake-up call.
Bill, that was an example.
He was fitted by NBC a while back.
Right, when he wanted to buy NBC. And he had the money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did.
Bill got out there and talked against his people, you know, talked down about us to those people. And that's the number one mistake you can do with white folks and talk down to you about to and about your own people. Because they feel like this here. If you talking against your people to us, what value do we have with you, because you're going to eventually do the same to us.
There's nothing more despised in the white world than a black person that down talks their own people.
Exactly.
Yep.
They're disposable as hell.
Now let's talk about another perfect example, now that you're saying that. Now, look at Clarence Thomas. Now, Clarence Thomas' wife was the one who sent the email. Why are they attacking Clarence Thomas?
Because he is the man of his household.
Mm-hmm.
He sits on the Supreme Court. And he did not regulate Becky like
Well, he wasn't supposed to. No. Becky ain't supposed to be regulated. That's why Becky's not regulated, because that's why they're going after him. Not because she has the power in that family. Don't get it twisted. Clarence Thomas ain't got no power. She got the power. That's why they're going after him. He's the weakest link. That's right. Yep.
There's another one that denounced his black women.
Sure did.
And so, you know, you didn't only denounce black women, didn't he? Sexually assault one?
Anita Hill.
Oh, okay, then.
And they played her whole situation down. They played it like it wasn't nothing. He did what he did. I believe
what
it.
He got rewarded. This is a poor plantation
mentality.
You get rewarded for bashing black folks.
Yep.
You get rewarded for destroying another black person.
Mm-hmm.
A black woman.
You get rewarded, period. If black has too much power, and if you're black, you get to take it down, you get rewarded.
Yep.
You will get rewarded.
Yep.
She's done that.
Now,
and Becky is embarrassing him every chance.
Yep, she did. That's right. And I saw that again,
somebody that met their proper demise.
Like, it's so weird. What got me was the idea that, he need to come off the Supreme Court. And I'm thinking to myself, didn't they say she was the one who did the emails and text messages? Why do we have to come off the bench? But again, like we just made it out there, the ideal that they don't want to do anything to Becky. They don't punish. They don't want to punish Becky. We're going to punish that turn coach. That's right. That's right.
Y'all let that black woman that's so educated get up there. Now we got to scrutinize all colored folk on the Supreme Court.
Well, they don't want two blacks on this. That's another thing we need to look at too.
They don't want. Remember back in the day, Columbus Goodman was on the city council, and somebody called him an Oreo.
Yeah, Columbus Goodman used to be the principal of what's name? Of Pinedale, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And he was on the city council. Somebody called him an Oreo. Said, you're black on the outside, but you're really white on the inside. And that's what Clarence Thomas is. He's black on the outside, but he's really
now,
white.
Now, look, Columbus Goodman, you got one even closer. Roosevelt Johnson was one. He was number one. He was there for a long time to be one. That's what Roosevelt Johnson was.
Because, like, that's bad energy. These people know they coons.
Yeah.
We don't have to say that anymore.
We call them coons.
Look, another thing. Okay, y'all, you know Harry Silver passed away, right? Y'all know he passed away. Yeah, he passed away.
I would say something, but I
won't. No, I'm going to leave it alone. I just wanted
to. He almost died in office because y'all just got him out of office, what, about 4 months ago?
Yeah. He turned
off. Y'all know that man was competent and did it right for nothing
that
in the world.
That man is people can agree with me or disagree with me. I think that man banned
it. He what?
I think he banned it.
He sound like me about Kim Young Poo. I said, they sitting up there talking. I said, I think Kim Young Poo dead. They just ain't dead. You ain't seen that man in over a year.
They said that he go swimming. You know, I'll give you that. But
he was at the Y. Yeah, he would be at the Y swimming. Because I
right, so
yeah.
He was at the Y swimming, but he can't show up to city
what, meeting?
Oh, yeah.
Never mind. Y'all fooling me.
So whatever. He just died. It's hard quit season.
The battery, you know what I got ready to say, y'all? I apologize. Lord, please forgive me. I said his battery ran out. I'm sorry. Lord, please.
It did. His sticker stopped ticking.
No, his time went out.
And he was, what, 97?
Uh-uh. He made 100. He had just turned 100.
Swing a little sweet cherry.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. And that man was sitting here sitting on city count? Uh-uh.
Yeah, as the oldest city councilman in the nation. Yep.
Alexander, everyone else is here to try to get their ass beat for that. But y'all know that man was not.
No, all the people that all them people in District 4 that kept putting them in there. That's a city to get their behind.
I mean, you got stretch. You're a businessman, and you got to believe that the condition that Alexander is in, he played a part. So that's why.
The ideal that they said, now, they said, when I say, let me correct when I say they said, God rest her soul, my friend Jackie, that was the, what's her name, manager, KYT, that was my girl. She was the one that told me that they led a protest because Whites and Gold Ring would not let the black people come in there and shop. They led a protest, and they wouldn't hire them. And she was the one, her and some other people got together, and they protested against Weiss and Goldring. So that type of mentality is still here. He is just one of them. There might be about five or six more, but once you entrench that and inbred that into your kids generationally, they feel the same way about us as they do.
Been around since they stopped letting players off the boat 10 Alexander. It's interwoven.
It's in the fabric.
Yeah, it's in the fabric of Alexander.
The Shapiro, the Michael,
mm-hmm.
and all the people can say what they want to, they can. They're related.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, you know,
the Domino, the Domino, what is it? Dominique, the Domino.
The Mikos. The Mikos. The Mikos.
Yeah, you can take a stroll to the Secretary of State. And I talked about it at the Resistance thing, and a lot of people walked out when I said it. But there was a Confederate pension plan from 1898 to 1950 where little Johnny Rebel's family, they got compensated. Them families got compensated with at least two generations, and that's the foundation that built Alexander. Confederate
plan. But you just go back, Tavares, you might not be old enough, and Mr. Porter wasn't there. If you go back to when downtown Alexander was booming, there was Weisengering, which was the Silver. That was Welland.
Yep.
People's Shoe Store,
yep. The Shoe Green, Trunk.
The Shoe Trunk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All those places. And I think he was more white. What was Laverne Perry?
Yeah, Laverne Perry.
He was in that clique.
Mm-hmm.
They had Alexandra wrapped up so tight.
Mm-hmm.
They had no breathing space to try to do anything there. They kept businesses out of Alexandria for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And they're still doing it. That's the tradition they're doing now. It hasn't changed, man. It hasn't changed not one bit. They sit down, like I keep telling y'all, when we're sitting down partying. We sleeping, they sitting down plotting, putting things together. Well, we got this information that this franchise want to come in. Oh, no, we can't let that franchise in. And that gets back.
Why y'all think Procter & Gamble is in Prime Deal, not Alexander?
Hmm.
Procter & Gamble first petitioned Alexander.
Hmm. And you know what they've said? And when I say they, I'm talking about businesses that want to come here. When they go to the Rapides Planning Commission, they say that Alexander is the most hardest and the most complicated because they have a lockdown on what companies and businesses they want here. And they want it like that. They don't want to change. When Fowler was running for office again this last time, his slogan was, we need to keep it like it is, like it was yesterday, or something like that. That was his slogan on his video. He was letting us know they don't want change. They don't care how much the people are poor. They don't care how much the people are not progressing. They don't want change. As long as we got these poor people depending on us, we don't want change. We don't want people to come in here with high technology jobs.
Somebody in there, mm-hmm. they're going to take over Alexander.
That's right.
They're going to lose control. Because
it's all about control.
Even was on the table to come to Alexander, and they gave them so much hell, they rescinded their offer. They like,
Olive Garden is not coming?
This is all small. But we don't let these small franchises come in because they're not going to hire nobody.
No, they ain't going to hire nobody with no money. That's where they're going to make money.
Alexander, we need them working for us, serving us. We don't need them going to go work for no franchise, no Yankee-ass restaurant coming down here and taking over our turf and not paying us enough or paying their workers more than they're paying us. Yeah, no.
Well, you got Raising, yeah, you know, y'all, they have Raising Cane's because it's a Louisiana franchise. They got Raising Cane's coming right next door to Wendy's. I mean, literally, you walk out the parking lot of Wendy's, you can walk to Raising Cane's. They right at each other. They put it on Kmart parking lot in Pineville. I mean,
oh, wow. That's business.
I would do that, too. Y'all got to realize, if we was in power the way we was supposed to be, wouldn't you do half the shit they doing?
Yeah, that's true.
But
I wouldn't. One thing I wouldn't do, I wouldn't refuse companies that are like from up north or west or south. I mean, any other area that can come in, I wouldn't do it.
Hold on this thing. Ain't nobody coming to take it. That's what they're afraid of. That's why they got to get black people.
And that's what they don't understand. This is the start to their end.
Yep.
Because restaurants are going to be the ones that break that cycle.
Yep. That's
restaurants.
Right.
And so, about in Texas, though, I know the same monies are not there in Louisiana. But, and I could just speak from experience with myself. You know, you'll have four or five people in the car. What you want to eat? Oh, I want Burger King. What do I want that? I want to go to Raising Cane's. I want that. I want to go to Wendy's. I want that. I want to go hit Popeye's.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what we do? Drive to each one of those
places. That's right. That's right. That's right.
They're all in a line
mm-hmm.
in Houston. You have Burger King right here, McDonald's here, Panda right there. You got Popeyes over here.
Mm-hmm.
You got Chipotle right here. And they all manage to stay in business.
That's
because,
right.
Like I say,
variety.
You don't drive. If you don't want this, or what you want? Okay,
that's
we'll
right.
go there and get there.
That's right. And see, I was just talking earlier. I have a friend that lives in Texas, and me and her was just talking how – when I go to Texas, I love going to Texas because I know if I'm going out to eat, I'm going to get a variety of food. I'm not going to get the pizza. I'm not going to no Burger King. I'm not going to McDonald's when I go to Texas. I go to the restaurant because y'all have such a wide variety of restaurants. And you got to remember, because Texas is so huge and they have different areas, you're not going to get the same food. There's no way. Even when I go to Georgia, same way when I go to Georgia. I love going to Georgia because I know I'm going to eat something I never ate before. And I love that. I love the variety of the different foods and restaurants. Here, like when I just told my husband, he went to go get a pizza. Because you ain't got no more chicken and pizza and tacos. I mean, you don't have anything else. We don't have black restaurants that we can go get a collard green dinner.
That's what I was about to say. It's black restaurant mod here now.
Uh-huh.
So they, if you your book and you go to, you get the sample, you can even get, they give you a coupon for discount sample, Lucille.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, if you watch a lot of those shows, you guys don't know it. But if we watch it, we know it's a black restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Like The Taste of Texas, Lucille,
mm-hmm.
Nikki Soul Food.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Nikki Soul Food, if you want whatever you want, these people even serve tidlin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want tidlin, they have oxtail, smothered pork chop, baked chicken, fried chicken, you know, mac and cheese, collard greens.
Anything that's going to kill us in the end, look, anything that's going to kill us in the end, we want to eat it. You know that. Look.
On a Sunday after church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was 35 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we called ahead of time. So we sent
mean you in a crisis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the lady said she gave a list of how much things cost.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, it was going to be a different price because it was so many of us, and the drink, we would have to pay for the drink. So we're like, okay, if we go in there and we order, say, like a burger and some fries and a drink, it was $10.99 for anybody else. But for us, it would have been $15 because we were a group. So some of the people said they were going to go to support us, but I choose not to.
No, that's not fair. Oh, wow.
Because it's a group. But you had about six people that said, well, no, we're going to go because we're going to support her because she's black. I said, well, then that's your choice. But I'm not going to support her because if Sanders, who coming in, order the same thing I'm ordering, she's going to pay $11 with tax, and then I'm going to pay $16 for the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what she was doing? She was charging the tip. But just tell people if that's what it was. Instead of saying, I'm going to upcharge you.
But,
I'm putting the tip into your, because some places do that.
Well, let me tell you, you know what? I'm glad you
went on.
Let me tell you what she did to me when I went. We went and got a dinner, me and my husband, and we had, I wanted some extra wings, and I wanted a couple of extra wings. Do you know she charged me $4.99 per wing?
$4.99.
She can
plug another one.
Yeah.
That's why she got it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said,
that right there. Yeah, $4.99 for a wing, for one wing. I said, no.
She was a black lady.
Yeah, she was. I can't remember who she was. But, yeah, she was. The food was good, but I said, I told Henry, I said, we're not going back there no more. Because, again, exactly. So when you try to support, and that's the other end of trying to support us.
They want to get rich off a couple of plates.
But that's not fair. If you want to keep your place full, okay, look at Pamela Bayou in a Bowl. Is that how it's called, right?
Yeah.
Look at her. She used to have people hanging out the doors. The line would be so long. Now, I haven't eaten there in a long, long time. And her prices are reasonable. So there is a possibility we can survive in this.
I'm going to tell you who they need to go back to, but they got to resurrect her up.
Who?
And she was she had that restaurant for years. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday she would open.
Who's that?
And Georgia.
Oh, Georgia, yes, behind that, what was she behind?
On Third Street.
Yeah, on Third Street, that's right. Oh, okay, wait a minute. The lady in that tin building, that metal urn building, are you talking about?
It's on the left. If you're going towards the bridge, on the left-hand side. She used to be Georgia's Hot Tamales, but she sold other food also. It's
now,
Georgia.
Now, if
you... She's been dead for so long.
Yeah.
That's why I said we have to resurrect her up. But she said, I remember that woman was in business when I was a little girl. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay,
that lady
now.
Was in business since I was a little girl, and she kept her business up until she died.
Now, wait a minute.
And
okay.
When the clubs were closed, everybody was over there.
Yeah, get your food.
And eat a bite.
Yeah.
Now,
okay, you guys, right where you're talking about, isn't it a little barbecue place right there? Who was that?
Was it Mano at one time?
I don't know. It was a little red, white, because we used to go get barbecue. They used, Lord have mercy, they packed that plate so high. Oh, Lord. Man, and we would bring them big old, we would order it prior to us coming. And when that man put that on that dog on styrofoam, it would be.
Oh, that's Logo.
Yeah, that's it. That was some good barbecue, and he was like almost the last person, and that was before Pamela in the Bayou came, Bayou in the Bowl came.
Yeah.
When he shut down, I was so disappointed because that man could cook his tail off.
Oh, yeah.
That food was good.
And then, you know, a place where Sluggo, I don't know if it was before Sluggo or after Sluggo,
mm-hmm.
the truck driver's wife,
Kelly?
Somebody, yeah, that was good, too.
Yeah, Kelly's Kitchen. That's what it was called, Kelly's Kitchen. Yeah, of that in the time when we really need it right now. I mean, but I know prices, restaurant prices right now, you guys, it's horrendous. They've been saying about it is that it's cost so much to run a restaurant because everything, you know, they had a wing shortage, so you can't buy wings, you know. So it was a whole bunch of stuff going on. So a lot of people, it's good to be able to hold on to your restaurant in this time, you know, because other people, but then people start cooking out their kitchens. I mean, as long as you pass an inspection, you can cook in your house as long as separate from your home. You know that, right?
Right.
You can have a whole nother kitchen.
That's how Jackie Brown got it with her Caitlin.
Yeah, Caitlin.
That little quarter building on side of her house.
Yep.
Cooked out of that.
As long as you have everything that's been certified through the state, you can do that. So, and then sell stuff. You don't have to go buy a real fancy truck. You can
just the church when you used to be the church of.
Right. Oh, that Methodist church on the service road.
Oh, right. That's where she is now.
Okay.
Yeah, she got, because she outgrew her place at her house.
Yeah.
One time her business was booming.
And look, another place too, the one, Gloria, is that Gloria? The one who used to work for Tony Brown, when Tony Brown had the restaurant over there. Y'all remember when Tony Brown had his restaurant? Oh, come on. Y'all remember on Elliott Street?
I missed that. Something my internet went out. What happened?
I said, remember Tony Brown had a restaurant over on Elliott Street? Do you remember that?
No.
We went to it. Yeah, he had a restaurant. It must have been last. Y'all, like, it must have been last long at all. But I remember going to it. Gloria used to work in there. The lady named Gloria, right? Y'all remember the lady who did all the cooking? Is her name Gloria?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, Lord.
Is that the lady that used to cook in the BMW?
Yes, I think it's her. What was her name? Wasn't her name Gloria?
I don't know, but I think I'm just calling her name because I know there was a lady that used to cook, and everybody would love her cooking.
That's her. That's the one. Now, she was cooking for him for a little bit, and then I think she went out because I went and tried her food when she went out to Super Dax, is that what it was called? The one out toward LSUA? That club that was out there?
Yes, I did hear that.
Okay.
But the same lady.
Yes, I used to go get lunches from her. Because I'm like this, I like to support us. If you're available and I can afford you, I will go eat at your restaurant. I don't have a problem with that.
I will too.
But you got to be right.
Even if your prices are a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
but your food is so good.
Yeah.
Mr. Porter is not on?
Mr. Porter was mute. I thought I saw him. Let me go back up here.
I don't see his picture.
There
he is. I'm driving in the car.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to background noise from the car might, you know,
Okay.
Okay.
You on your way? You were on your way somewhere? You don't want to tell us? You in secret?
Yeah,
where
no,
you going?
No.
We're on the way to go pick up the garbage and clean the yard.
we're going to the grandkids so that we could spend Easter with
them. Oh, that's sweet.
Wonderful.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Good Friday.
Ain't no holiday in Texas. Don't think good about it this Friday.
If you have a weekend off,
huh? That's it. If you have a weekend off.
Oh,
I
man.
When am I seeing you going in and out?
Huh?
I'm seeing you going in and out. The video.
No, that's because I'm rocking. I have a habit of rocking sometimes. I rock back and forth.
Okay, but the whole video goes dark.
Oh.
So it might be my internet going in. And
yeah, because I'm looking at myself. Anybody else having issues?
I'm seeing you now, but it must be my internet going in and out.
Okay.
I'm seeing you now, but sometimes you're playing out when you're playing.
Oh, okay. I thought because I rock sometimes. I have a habit of doing that, and I thought maybe I was going in and out of the video. Okay.
let me clear up a few things that I gave erroneous information Tuesday, okay?
Okay.
So, you were not present for adjudication?
Yes, yes. Sicardo.
Okay. So he retired, and there's a new person, but as it turns out, they are appointed by the federal court, so the city don't get to select them.
Gotcha.
They apply to the federal court, and they get selected for that particular job.
Okay.
And then the court determines what their fee is, and we get billed that fee on each demolition or adjudication.
Wow. So
that was it. Now, the other thing, I went looking up, and the guy who developed a cure for cancer is Jim Allison. And he is a phenomenal individual. He graduated high school at 16, went to college, and then ended up doing research at college. And what led him into researching a cure for cancer was because his wife had developed cancer. And so that's why he had gotten into it, and he came up with so many breakthroughs. Now it's only certain forms can do it. Not all cancer, but some of the ones that he was working on. But and he's a phenomenal musician and all kind of stuff. Some people. You know, God just blessed him with all kinds of talent.
Exactly.
But now, I did not get to see those other things y'all was talking about. I'm quite hesitant. You know, I guess I'm like Thomas. I have to put my hands in.
And
when nails went through the palms and stuff
Doubting Thomas.
And I listened to Howard Roland?
That's his name. Roland. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's his name.
Yeah. And they talked about how gruesome his death was.
When
he died. He drowned in his own blood, basically, because they said he had melanoma.
That's a form of cancer.
Mama, one of them.
Yeah.
But that is a form of cancer that comes from HIV. They say he told his neighbor that he was HIV positive. And he basically died when the paramedics got there. They say they had blood everywhere. He was basically gurgling. His lungs just was full of blood, spitting it up. And they talked about his life as how, you know, like you think Kara O'Connor tried to keep him on the show, but he just was determined to be a bad boy, going out there getting drunk with cocaine, you know, the police, Louisiana State Trooper was pulling him over. And how he, you know, he just couldn't help himself. And
he was on them drugs so bad. They had ate him up. Them drugs ate him up, just like took complete control over him.
Yeah, and like the friend was saying, it was a possibility the drug abuse came about because he couldn't live the true life
he
wanted to.
Exactly.
He was hiding.
And,
you know, say once he got off the heat of the night, they say he was dressed full of lead. First, long gowns, and he had a room with that, but long gowns, wigs, and makeup, and eyelashes, and he would be out there on the street. I say, Lord Jesus, and you know, he wanted to be a woman.
He did. He wanted to be a woman. We're sorry, Mr. Porter, for your classmate.
Your classmate was a fan, like they said. He was a fine man. They women would, you know, tell their husbands that, you know, this is who you, you know, look at him, look at his body, how he played that role on the heat of the night.
But he was struggling. He was struggling.
He was struggling bad. And Carol O'Connor,
saved him three times and say the last time was nothing. When he had to go to jail and spend some time in jail, it was nothing Carol could do for him.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's
crazy. That was it.
Yep.
And
you guys talk to me about what's the man named Bubba Skinner? Because Bubba had them big, nice muscles. Bubba was a fine white boy.
Yep. But Bubba wasn't Carol's son. You remember it was the other one. The
it was the skinny
one.
Was
the skinny one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Bubba with them big, big old arms.
Oh, Bubba Skinner was. I wonder where old Bubba is now.
If he's still alive. Yeah, if he's still alive. Yep.
He's gonna be an old man, but Bubba was a fine white boy. I mean, that's a fine white boy.
Alan Archery is his real name.
Huh?
Yeah. Alan Archery is his real name.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still alive. He out there in California.
Somewhere, huh?
He was the mayor of Fresno, California.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
You know what? I saw him on TVN one time, and he was talking about how a Christian and they were just making him out to be this good guy, this Christian guy, and all this stuff. So I when you all mentioned it, I'm like, okay, Bubba, what happened, Bubba?
Bubba from Shreveport, Louisiana.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Bubba from Shreveport.
From Shreveport. Wow, he young.
I thought he was older than that.
Mm-hmm. He young.
Okay. Well, he might be, if he kept himself up, he might be still looking good.
No, Lord, you want to marry him? We'll go get him for you, Bama. You want
to
go get him?
No, I don't want a white man.
He heard up and said
that quick, didn't she? Hey, look, okay. Look.
You know, they do have some. You know, I got eyes, I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though now, you know, all of the white girls got our black guys, the ones that's not gay or in prison, and so a lot of black women are going to the white men.
Mm-hmm. That's
yep.
Right. That's where they want to be.
But no, I remain by myself.
Well, they all come from us originally, so.
Yeah, they from Egypt.
Yeah,
yeah,
they from us. Well, they now this is what they say, and Mr. Porter, again, scientifically, check it out when you can, do your little research. They say white people are mutations. Just look that up. That's what I read. I could be wrong, but that's what I read in the article. That white folks are mutations. That's why they have the color hair they do, why they have the eyes they have. They said because the original people always had brown eyes. The blue eyes came in with the mutation. But check that out. Just check that out. I'm just putting that out there. Okay. So.
Mutation.
The mutation. That white folks are a mutation. Because all eyes used to be brown. There was no such thing as blue eyes. I'm just saying. Yeah, check that out. Okay. Brown or black eyes? Okay. So, remember I told you guys I got that book called They Were Her Slaves. Remember that book, right?
Right.
So there was an excerpt in there, and it kind of caught me like, oh, wow, this is what it used to be like, okay? A white man's pecuniary circumstances could change drastically upon marriage because state and local laws generally gave husbands control over the property, right? Their wives brought to the marriage. Simply by marrying a woman with property, even if she maintained control over it, a man could improve his position. Husbands often borrowed money from their wives and used the money to buy enslaved people. Their wives inherited to cultivate the lands they bought with those loans. Legal petitions are on record in which women describe themselves as their husband's creditors and financiers. Many of these women did not accept the loss of their legal claims to the property they brought into their marriages.
In fact, many married female petitioners describe their slaves as property they still owned and controlled, considering their husband's control temporarily. Okay? It says, and as we shall see, the courts often agreed with them. Enslaved people also testified to the way such ideals shaped marital relations in white households. Thus, in many respects, married women, their slaves, and their other assets made their husbands' commercial endeavors possible and enabled slavery to thrive in ways it might not have without those women's economic investments in the institution. What y'all think about that?
Think about even in the 60s and the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Women couldn't even have a bank account in their name. It had to be in the husband's name.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The man would get her paycheck and go cash that paycheck up, you know?
Also, did you know that they would bring the slaves to the house? To the women who were buying the slaves, they would bring them to the house and let them see them and touch them and whether or not they want to buy them. Did you know when they were doing auctions, the white women would be on the front row dressed very beautifully, and they'll be doing their little bidding with their little fans and their little gloves on and stuff? Did y'all know they were doing that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting. And even the mothers, to show you how generational it was, the mothers would tell their sons, do not get a wife until you got yourself in order. In other words, you got to have something to come to the table because she's already got it. So you can't just call yourself want to marry her and you ain't got nothing. You have to have something bringing to the table to add on to what she got. So they were teaching, they were grooming their young men when they went to get married to make sure they had something already in place. Because you couldn't just go marry nobody and think that you were going to get everything. Because what happens is they double the investment. Because if she already got money and got slaves, and then you come along and they put that money together, you know, you're making it. So they groomed their sons this way. To literally come out, like almost like take advantage of the women who had stuff, you know, who already had, you know, the money, the slaves, the whole nine yards. Because lots of times if the husband dies, guess who's in charge of the slaves in the plantation? The wife is. Yeah, the son is, but the wife is first. And then if she passes away, then he gets it. But it's usually the wife. If there's no kids, you know, the wife takes over everything. But they were, in the book, is basically kind of telling you that the women were just as brutal as the men were with the slaves.
They probably was more so than the men.
Yes. Yep. But they don't talk about that because, you know, you're not supposed to talk about it. This is why critical race theory needs to be taught. Because people look at Karen, and I'm calling her Karen. People look at Karen like Karen is this harmless little thing, but Karen is almost, let me not say that.
She's been on the right hand of the devil.
Karen is something else.
Mm-hmm.
Karen is powerful just like the black woman is powerful in the positive way. They're very powerful in the negative way because you got to remember, when kids were little, who was at home with my? I can sit at home all day long with my kid and raise my children, and my children are going to do exactly what I do. They're going to do exactly what you do because who are they around all the time? You. If they hear you sitting around with your girlfriends and they hear that N-word come out, they're going to say it. They're going to say it. If they hear something about somebody getting, who, listen to this, you know, when they were lynching us, you see the pictures. Who would be standing out there looking at us being lynched?
The children.
Children
and the what? The mom.
The wife.
The wives. When they protest against us going to these schools and desegregating the schools and stuff, who be on the front line?
The wives.
The wives, the women. We never pay attention to that. But it's more women on the front lines than it is men. The boys and the young boys and the men be in the back throwing stuff at us and cussing us out. But some women be on that front line. You got to be careful for that, kid. That Karen. And I'm not saying all Karen.
But they showing themselves today. Those Karens.
Oh, Lord, they showing themselves. And it works every time. It works every time. Why do y'all think about it like this. Why do y'all think that they're keeping the women and children from all these other foreign countries here? Not to say they're not keeping the men, but they're keeping a lot of the women and children. Why? Why do y'all think that?
Sorry, would you say that again,
Kalita? They're bringing all these foreigners over here. I'm just going to say it like that. I don't want to be disrespectful, but they're bringing a lot of people over here. Why do you think they're bringing the women and children over here?
They're able to control them.
They can control them?
Control factor.
Yeah, but guess who does
and
the
reproduction? They don't know.
Who does the reproduction? But who does the reproduction?
They are. The women.
Okay, the women are. So they're the ones with the reproduction. So if we're trying to see, I'm not saying we're not paying attention to it because that's a false statement. But if we pay attention to a lot of stuff, you got to remember right now, and I think the white population is number 4 or number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
So if you keep bringing all these people over here, 100,000 of them, and that start adding up, come next year for the census, them numbers ain't going to look the same. Okay? So it's easy for them to keep letting other people come in here. It's easy because the whole point is when it comes to the census, we got to keep making sure we look good. So if our numbers are up, then we won't be the inferior. We won't be the minority. They will. They want to continue to keep us in the minority state status. Okay? By bringing more of them over, and then you have our white Hispanics that when they go to the census, they're going to check off white. So if we get the numbers moving, you know, the higher the numbers, the better off they are. They feel more superior because they know that they're dying at a higher rate than the women are having babies. They know that. So if they know, that's why, okay, let's look at all the abortion bans across the nation right now. How harsh, how they would put you in jail if you get an abortion. Just think about all of those. Why do you think they're putting, that has nothing to do with religion. That has nothing about keeping, how do you say that? It's nothing about spirituality. It's not about religion. It is about them losing out. Because no matter what they say, they claim that we have more abortions than they do. In reality, that's not true. That's not true. Not true, but they make it look like it's us having a lot of these unwed babies, these illegitimate children. They make it look like it's more of us. But if I'm not mistaken, maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, we did it on a show and we talked about the birth rate of teenage pregnancies with African Americans, that the number had decreased. So if the number is decreasing for our kids and our young ladies, what's going on over there? Hmm? What's going on over there?
Yeah, the number for black that's one of the things they, was it the end of last year they were talking about, that we are on the extinct list also because we're not reproducing like we used to. You find a lot of black women are not having kids today.
Well, you have, because you know why? Because you have the younger ones that are having the kids. The younger generation, our generation that we birthed, are the ones having the kids. We become grandmothers at 35 and 40.
Right.
You know, because, look, I mean, think about it.
But it's still not at the rate as it was in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, exactly. It's decreased too.
Yeah, not at the rate. The number still, you know.
Well, is that a good, so is that a good thing for both races or is that a bad thing for both races?
Well, with the young, the generation now, I don't think it's a good thing because you're having so many many of these young black mothers having babies for so early.
Yeah.
And then you have all these problems that's going on. They have so many babies, and the babies have a cabin baby.
Yeah.
And that's part of the crime.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it's not a good thing that, you know, by the time a young lady now, by the time she's 18 and 19, she already had three or four kids.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
21. They got a house full of babies.
Mm-hmm. At 21 years old. 23 years old, you got five kids at 23 with no husband. That's
but
ridiculous.
However, that number is not as high as it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's sporadic now.
Yeah.
So
either the count is not, either the count is off, excuse me, either the count is off or the stats are not adding up.
That's right. And but if you look around, though, you look at these young girls, you don't see a lot of these girls with babies.
Here you do.
Oh, we're there. But, I mean, here you don't. You don't see these, you know, I look at my sons, them, a lot, and they are 30 now. A lot of them do not have any children,
mm-hmm.
and they have degrees.
Yeah.
They do not have any kids. And I'm like, what's wrong with y'all?
Well,
like, oh, we got time for that. They look at that.
And that's good. Life. That's good. I think that's excellent.
Like white folks like that, I'm gonna live my baby. Nah.
Mm-mm. No. Well, the ideal is really weird that they did that, because isn't it the natural order of things where the baby bonds with whoever breastfed them?
Right.
So they're really snatched from the mother. I mean, when you say mother, because the mother is the one who's supposed to breastfeed the baby, they're snatched from their black mother, in a sense. Even though the mom had them, you know, birth them to that, don't you think they're snatching them from their mother when you look at it from a standpoint of breastfeeding? And that's where a baby bonds the most, is when during breastfeeding, after they come out of the birth
room. That's what happens, why those kids will always be attached to that black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And the.
But it's just amazing. And another thing that was so amazing to me, how you beat someone and mistreat someone, but you got them in your kitchen cooking your food, you're stupid enough to eat it.
Because it was fear. They put fear in you. I mean, it's fear. If I beat you to death all the time, if I'm not to death, but if I beat you all the time, you're going to be fearful of me because you don't want to hit me, see me coming with that dog I'm with. You're going to be scared
of
me.
Try today.
Yeah.
I bet you they would eat a lot of
pushed up
bottle glass.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And they know that wouldn't happen today with the women of today, because the women of today, we angry. So we already know.
We're always angry, the angry black woman.
Mm. But we're not supposed to have anything to be angry about. James Baldwin says we should wake up every morning angry. That's what James Baldwin said. Wake up morning, every morning. When you look at your conditions, you should be angry every morning. You should be angry and motivated to change it. Fight whoever's in the way to keep you from progressing. Yeah. No words, but yeah, that's what he said.
It's just so amazing how the white woman can express herself and say the same words a black woman would say in a situation, but the white lady, oh, she's just upset and she's expressing herself, but the black woman, oh, she's angry, she's mad, she's mean.
But do you see how they propagandize everything? They propagandize everything. Everything. To make it always look like it's us. You know how even we do it to ourselves. We look at the news, how we see all these shootings. It's all us. We're not talking about a block away where they're having a shootout between two bad neighbors. If you watch the show that comes on, I think it's on ID, about neighbors. Majority of neighbors are white neighbors that's fighting and killing and poisoning each other. Y'all don't hear none of that, okay?
Just like, I'm going to use this situation here. This little white boy, the other day, going through the neighborhood, breaking in people's cars,
mm-hmm.
stealing people's guns and credit cards. So some kind of way somebody got constable on the job, and constable pulled them, got them. But this little white kid, they out there stealing, robbing, and you know.
And you always see something about us. You always see our mug shots. Plastered up on the
TV. But we haven't seen it in the boy most out nowhere.
Mm-mm. Nope. And you're not. You're not going to see
it. Just like the little 17, 16-year-old boy. And I don't understand why they were out at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's out drunk, driving a car, killed the two girls that was in the car with him. He bailed out of jail before he was in good.
Mm.
Still haven't heard anything about that. That been almost 2 years ago.
Mm. Now, I did see where a 17-year-old, I don't know if you guys saw this, APD, they were not going to, the fatal shooting that happened on Lee Street. Was it Lee Street? Did y'all see that news article? Fatal shoot that happened last week. They said they were not going to charge the 17-year-old or the 15-year-old. I don't know how
it
was.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that shooting.
Yeah. They said they weren't going to charge him with that shooting. I didn't read the whole article because it came.
It happened last week?
Yeah, the one that happened last week, yeah.
Okay.
And they said.
Black guy, huh?
Yeah. They said they weren't going to charge him for the fatal shooting, but I didn't read the whole article. I just saw that part.
He shot another black kid, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is my question. And Mr. Porter, if you're there, I got a question. Who's regulating these guns? Can you hear me?
Yeah, he
did.
I had him
regulating
the guns.
Yeah, why are
there is no regulation of the guns.
Huh?
There is no regulation of
That's what I thought.
That's why Joe Biden is speaking up about these ghost guns.
There's no regulation on the guns.
That's what
because,
I thought.
What they wanted to do away with even having to get a permit,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
You know, for concealed carry.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to make sure that no municipality could override the gun law.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to, you would have to come back through the legislature. It made it real difficult.
Uh-huh.
You know,
mm-hmm.
to try and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, still, you're supposed to register your gun,
mm-hmm.
and you're supposed to I guess it's a permit, but it's like you don't have to have the training anymore.
Yeah. Well, I know in Georgia, the state of Georgia, you can get you don't have to have a permit in Georgia either.
Yeah, so you could go with a concealed gun and don't need a concealed
weapons
permit.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You can get a gun and not have to go through training.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no background check
mm-hmm.
on
yep.
individuals. There's only certain things that you have. There are certain folks that are not allowed to have a gun.
Exactly.
Right. A felon.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. You don't
yeah.
have to have a background check now.
Yeah.
So you
that's
know
why you people from Louisiana coming over here buying up all them guns.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're right. You're so right about that. I didn't even think about that. You're right. So they coming across, but isn't that are they allowed to do, is that permissible?
Yeah, you could get it there and bring it back.
Okay. I didn't know you could do that.
But I don't know if you get it and register it somewhere,
mm-hmm.
if you have to register it when you get to a new state.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that.
Mm-hmm. Because it depends on, I guess it depends on those laws in that state when it comes to guns, if they have to
right.
do that or not. And I think
right.
if I'm carrying a gun, I definitely want to know that. I want to know, because I don't want nobody to say, I'm doing something wrong with my gun. I'm on my gun. Okay. Yeah. That's crazy. So our kids are getting a hold of these guns. Like you said, if they're coming to Houston, if they're coming over to Texas, and buy or getting other people to buy them guns.
But not just that, you could go online now and get
yeah.
kids and put guns together.
Yeah.
Check out the number. They call them ghost guns.
Yeah, I heard that Biden's trying to make sure that people who are being able to do that have to have numbers on it, have to have the serial numbers on it. Now, hi, Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, is that your doggy? Was that your doggy?
Yeah.
He wasn't letting know. I'm in the house.
This dog is four. Yeah.
Yep. We spoil our dogs. I'm going to tell you that. I told y'all a long time ago, I like dogs better than I like humans.
Me too.
I love my dogs.
You know that's why the price of bullets are so high now. You know bullets are almost $1 a bullet.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Wow.
See, they're going to get you either way. You're either going to pay high price for that gun or you're going to pay high price for the doggone bullets to go in.
Yeah, bullets now is what the last box of bullets I bought was like $30-some for 30 bullets.
But you know they can make their own bullets too, right? You know they do
right,
that too.
Yeah.
You just got to have the right materials. You can make your own bullets.
Own bullets, yep.
Mm-hmm. Look, I was kind of changing the subject like Ms. Veldman is, like Ms. Veldman is adding. Change subject just a little bit. Look, we're talking about all the weather coming in, and just so happened I was talking to a friend, and he kind of made me think about it. From June to November, we have real bad. That's all right. That's all right. We have real bad weather coming, right, you guys? We have hurricanes, tornadoes, the whole nine yards. So I asked the question on Facebook, are we prepared for that? And I asked it, you know, people have generators. A couple people said they got to get one. Somebody said, yeah, they got one. I asked the question, do you have cash on hand? Just in case, you got to have cash on hand. I said something about don't pack the refrigerator or freezers. Because if the lights go out and you don't have a generator, that's all that food you're done wasting all that money on. You're going to lose it. It happened to us, I think, when not Gustav. Yeah, it was Gustav. That happened to us. We had a deep freezer full of food. The lights are off about 3 or 4 days. But the insurance company did pay us for it. But it did happen. I asked another question. I said I wanted everybody, if they get a chance, to go to Academy, any sporting goods store, and kind of look at different supplies that you might need. People who don't camp don't understand how to actually stock up on stuff you need. Batteries, lanterns, because now you got the lanterns you can pull loose and they light up. They got all kinds of stuff that you can use that you would need if you don't have a generator. So I was kind of giving people like little, you know, just kind of giving tips and things on how to do that. Because we're never prepared for bad weather. And when I say we're never prepared, we never have the right amenities and the necessities. Your toilet paper, your baby wipes, your disinfectant wipes. We don't have a lot of that. We don't even stock up on at all. We don't even think about that. So he was saying, if you got that tax return, y'all make sure y'all saving some of that tax return because you're going to need it, especially if this weather gets – we've already seen how the weather been, and we ain't in June. So just imagine how it's going to be because the weather has changed so much, y'all, and every day is something different.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about also I was watching a show on TV called The Super Rich. And on the show, they were showing how the rich people live as far as, like, they have this thing called the Robo Vault. This is where they put all their expensive cars in. Well, this lady she was told on the show, that the building that these cars are in, it's made out of a hurricane-proof type material. So I said to my, I was like, so why isn't our houses not built out this same time? We can cover up a car and protect the car. Like storms come through, those cars look perfect, like when they first went in there. But why don't we have this for our houses?
You know, it used to be a company in Alexandria over there where the it used to be Rapides Bank off of Lee and Texas Avenue.
Uh-huh.
But it's some type of banquet hall now.
Uh-huh.
That it used to be a company that used to build hurricane proof houses, but the material was so costly that they did not stay in business there.
Yeah.
It didn't catch.
Yeah. So
when are we supposed to have a storm again?
Probably Monday.
The weekend is coming up.
That's why I say Monday. Monday is the day it gets a rocket in the road.
Yep. It's like, but is this April showers, you guys? It's because I can't even.
March wind, April showers, May flowers.
Okay. Look, let me tell y'all.
You know, it was hailing so bad here the other day up in Central Texas. Mm-hmm. It was the size of a golf ball.
Yep. I let me tell y'all this weird thing happened to me. That was Tuesday. I woke up Tuesday morning, you guys, and I literally thought it was Sunday. I had to look at my dates. I literally thought it was Sunday. It's just like when I woke up, I was like, oh, my God, it's Sunday. Because it's like I get so confused when I wake up in the morning on what day it was. But I'm like, Salida, that's 4 days away. Where did you get Sunday? It felt like I woke up on a Sunday morning. That was so weird. Don't you think that's weird?
I've done that before.
If they call it sleep, it's called sleep something. They got a name for it. I can't remember what, because I quickly looked it up. But there's a name for it when you do that. Sleep drunkenness. That's what it's called.
Oh, that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
I'd have done that too, but it was like falling asleep at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and waking up at 7 p.m. and I'm like, oh my god, I don't open the door. Yeah. I'm like, that sucks.
Yeah, that's
right. And then I say, oh my god, it felt like I had slept for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
yeah.
That tired.
When you're tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why it's important. You don't have to have 8 hours worth of sleep, because if you guys actually tally up 8 hours per day, that's 8 hours per day, 7 times a week, right? Is that how you say it? 8 hours a day?
8 times 7, uh-huh.
And if you break it all down, they say if you look at it, we actually are sleeping majority of our life away if you add it all up. So they tell you 5 to 6 hours is better than trying to sleep 8 hours.
Yeah, so I'm good on that because I'm already asleep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So how many people can actually sleep 8 hours, though?
It's people who can sleep 8 hours.
Yeah, some people can sleep 10, 11 hours, and I just look at them and shake my head like, you just frightened.
No, because sometimes depression kicks in, and depression will make you sleep a lot, too. Yeah.
Oh,
you talking about these lazy ones?
I'm like, are you really serious?
I don't know, but I do.
When I used to pull the night from three or four nights, 12 hours just now. I could sleep 12 hours when I finished that rotation.
Mm-hmm.
The first day, it wasn't nothing but sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't talk to nobody. Yeah, because you didn't work 3, 4, 12 in a row. And like I tell people, when you work night 7 p.m. to 7 a.m, you really, if you get about 4 hours of sleep during that day, because by the time you get off
mm-hmm.
and get home, it's 9 o'clock. You don't fall asleep right there.
No,
you can fall asleep about 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to get up
and have children.
Yeah, you have to go get them from school or make sure they got a meal cooked or do homework.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to lay down for another hour or so. By that time, it's 5 o'clock. You got to get, well, here at 5 o'clock, you got to be out the door to get to work for better.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
I did 18 to 16 hours for a long time. I did 2 full-time jobs for a long time. And with the help of my mother, that's who helped me with my son. And that just wore me out. I really believe that's why I have some of the health problems that I have now,
mm-hmm.
because I've used my body with so much work.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe
work.
That.
Yep.
I was getting no sleep. I was working. I was a single mother. I had a child, and I was trying to make sure that I had a roof over my head and the lights never went out. And my child had what he, you know, everything he needed for school. He was in the band. I wanted to make
right.
sure he could go on these trips with these students and get the instruments that
mm-hmm.
he liked to be in all the different stuff in school. And I wanted to make sure my child was able to do all that. And that's why I worked the way I worked.
Yep.
Exactly.
But giving them the best.
Yep. Making sure that they are not left out because of poor decisions that we have made.
Yes. Yes. Mhm. Oh yes.
Yeah.
So get ready. Put your boots on, baby. It's coming. And that's one thing Al Roker was talking about this whole week. Is usually this time of the year is kind of calm.
Mhm.
You know, and some places getting 4 or 5 inches of snow.
Mhm.
Yeah. It's actually snowing. They're having blizzards, which they normally now are going into the springtime.
Mm-hmm.
But it's snowing.
Now, yesterday on Jackson Street,
mm-hmm.
because my granddaughter sent some pictures on at the gas station. People trying to get in their cars, and I guess it just flooded so fast. And when she sent those pictures, I'm like, oh my goodness.
So
even here, all those cars were flooded on Jackson Street.
So okay, Mr. Porter. See if he's still there.
No.
He might be on mute. Oh, there you go. Hey, Mr. Porter, I got a question for you. What's the deal with the flooding?
The flooding in what way?
She's Ms. Velma said it was flooding on Jackson Street. What's the deal with all the flooding still?
Well, we just got issues with our storm drain system.
Mm-hmm. Needs to be redone.
Now usually you don't have that over in District 4. You typically have that in District 3 and District 2.
Mm-hmm.
So flooding on Jackson Street is kind of strange.
Well, my granddaughter sent me some pictures yesterday where some of these cars, the water was to almost to the top of these cars.
Wow.
To the top and on Jackson Street?
On Jackson Street.
Now, where is it? It was raining so fast and it didn't have time to drain off. Actually, where I lived at was saved up when Hurricane Harvey came.
Mm-hmm. If we wouldn't have saw it on TV, we wouldn't have believed it out here. People did not believe when I told them we didn't even have standing water in the street.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go one block over, it's 1960, and the area is called Kingwood. That's where a lot of the aristocrats, you know, they don't want us over there.
Mm-hmm.
And laughing. They don't want us over there in Kingwood. But Kingwood, and Kingwood, Meyerland, Bel Air area, anytime it get a good rain, they're underwater. What saved us out here is we have this subdivision, this area where I'm at is fairly new. It's less than 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But when the developers developed this area, they couldn't cut down all the trees. It actually looked like home, and that's why I bought out here. I think this might be so much in Louisiana. It looks like home with all the trees. So the trees saved us because, you know, the trees suck up the water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even know. We were out here. We were like, really, Houston? Are y'all underwater like that? Because,
yeah,
you know, it started raining Friday afternoon about 4 o'clock, Hurricane Harvey. It was coming down that Friday, 4 o'clock Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
When I woke up Saturday morning, I said, oh, it's still raining. And it was the same place it was Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was ending, baby. It was coming down. It's like somebody had taken a water hose and just held it in the air, and it was coming down.
Wow.
Saturday night, it was still raining at that same pace. Sunday, I became worried. I said, whoa, wait a minute. It was still raining Sunday. No stop. Sunday night, it was still getting it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Lord, I'm glad I played that flood insurance. Monday, I woke up like 2 o'clock Monday morning. I was like, it's still raining out there. I walked to the door, you know. The streets were still clear, and I was like, if it wasn't for the TV, I wouldn't believe this, y'all. Wow, Houston is really underwater. Then they called us. They, you know, they have a system where they call you and notify you that they pack a bag because you may have to evacuate.
Mm-hmm.
They actually had the Coast Guard to come out here with helicopters to start evacuating people out.
Mm.
Wow.
Because I'm close to Westlake, Houston. And so I was like, oh, my goodness. But our area on this side of 1960,
mm-hmm,
but that other side where the mother folks at,
mm-hmm,
they went under.
Wow.
And the reason they went under had nothing to do with the rainwater is that Katy, the way that the system is built,
mm-hmm,
they had to release some of the water out of Katy, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And when they opened those drainage, those dams, it floods this subdivision, and it flooded them saltines, and they did not like that.
No, she didn't call them saltines.
The saltines was mad. Maybe their house, within 30 minutes, their houses was underwater. But they had to do something to relieve the water in Katy, because the water, Friday night,
mm-hmm,
or Saturday night in Katy, the water had already gotten in the houses and was about 3 to 4 feet deep.
Wow.
That Friday, Saturday. Because I remember one of my coworkers, she called me. She said, we didn't even have time to get out. Can you ask somebody to come rescue us?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Wow.
You had people that was on the second floor. If they had a two-story house, they was on the second floor. They couldn't even go downstairs. It was coming so quick.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so hard, and you couldn't drive anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't go anywhere. And even back here, Westlake, Houston, the lake, the water was crossing over the highway. It was just going over the highway. Because I went out to drive to see exactly. I was like, it can't really be this bad.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to Westlake, Houston, which is like a mile and a half from my house, the water was coming out the embankment over the highway. I was like, oh my God.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was a scary from Sunday and Tuesday about 2 o'clock the sun came out. I said, praise the Lord.
Drink it all that water up.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It was 5 days. Just not.
Do y'all remember when it flooded so bad, you know, where 'cause we lived on 14th Street off of Willow Glen, like right across from Jackson Base Camp. And it flooded so bad, the water just rushed in our house, and it was like almost to my knee.
Oh, wow.
I was like 11, though, so that was like a long time ago.
So then it didn't happen since then, too. Because some of Selena's friends were out there with boats and stuff.
Where are they building those at?
Lane.
Where's that at, y'all?
You go, when you turn off of 28, you turn, make a left, you go, you know what, St. Andrews subdivision is?
I don't know.
I think it's St. Andrews is a fairly new subdivision. They charge you about $400,000 for an 1,800 square foot house.
Oh.
Down.
Oh, okay. Got you.
Down
okay. Got
but
you.
It's on the left-hand side going towards Leesville.
Okay.
Go back through the, you know Barbara Juba down?
That name?
Back there.
Okay. So they're building them
yeah,
over there? So they're building them over there, and they're already, the drainage has had, people are complaining about the drainage?
The drainage
they
are never
complaining because they want to put 9 more lots over there,
oh.
And they say that it's going to really flood them out real bad, but they didn't make it because it's going through again, so. Because
this has been, what, about 2-3 years ago when it flooded over there, Kathy, when they had to go out there and rescue the cows and the horses that was in the pasture off of 28?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's been, I'm serious.
Yeah.
They had to go get the cows and the horses because they was about to drown.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
That's crazy.
Wow.
Crazy.
But that's what they're building everything at 28.
Yeah, they pushing everything out. That's right. That's right.
I should have got me some land out there.
Thank you guys for hanging out
right
with
there.
Us here
yeah,
over here on the Can We Be Friends show. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
But, that Alexandra is a book of ass.
Mm-hmm.
That Alexandra is a book.